Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Travis.
McClunky. How you doing, guys?
And Paul Tassi.
C-Team. No, wait. C-Team.
Nailed it. Thank you guys so much. So, we are in week two of Season of the Splicer. We are all caught up on the story. We've been playing it, some of us more than others, and I want to hear your thoughts. So I'll start with you guys because I think I'll be less positive. So Travis, you're next in the line here. Why don't you take it away?
Sure. Yeah, Season of the Splicer. So the first thing is that, you know, it had some pretty interesting story development so far. It kind of strikes me as like we're kind of making allies with all of the imperfect kind of allies around us in Destiny, which I think is really interesting. And it's an opportunity to kind of, you know, make friends with the Fallen and the Cabal, which have probably been like the less evil of, you know, they're definitely not as evil as like the Hive or the Darkness, and preparing for that final battle. So that was really interesting. Seeing Fallen in the Tower and interacting with Mithrax is really interesting, and the politics there. So that part I'm really positive on. The other thing that I'm really positive on is the weapon sandbox. We got a ton of new weapons this season, and it's kind of awesome. Like I'm actually genuinely surprised, especially with Vault of Glass happening tomorrow. We're going to get even more weapons and a new set of armor. I'm kind of really excited to try those out in Crucible and just see how they play and that sort of stuff. So that's been really fun, and being able to chase after some new god rolls and that sort of thing. The other stuff that is not as exciting for me is, you know, the main content we're playing, Overload, is sort of just a kind
override.
Of boring override. Sorry, override. Overload is something else. But yeah, Override is a really kind of boring PvE six match made activity. I've done a lot of it, not as much as Paul, it sounds like, but quite a bit. And you know, it's kind of something you can do while you're doing something else. Like it's not really like a thing to focus on, or else you'll go crazy. So I've been running that a little bit, and PvP still badly needs love. I'm not loving that either. The weekly story mission, I think, that we're supposed to do, Expunge, we've only kind of gotten one chapter to that, but it sounds like we're going to get more in the future. I liked it so far, but
that starts next week.
Has it?
Yeah.
Has it not? Okay, so I kind of assumed that the mission we did at the very beginning where we find Mithrax was like phase one of that.
No, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what that ends up turning like. But I guess my point is that there's not a lot of story content beyond that original intro mission. And so we'll see how that goes. But until then, the main activity we're doing, the PvE activity, is sort of not super exciting to me. So.
Paul, you're playing so much that you know the name is Override and not Overload or whatever.
There you go. Yeah,
it takes a lot of playtime to get that one. Yeah,
just so teasing, Travis.
To put this in context, I have maxed out every upgrade in the Splicer Gauntlet that you can get. I did that a couple days ago, actually, and I've been now using my currency to focus farm umbrals. So I have been doing a lot of Override. Not because I love Override so much, but because I love this loot pool so much. This might be, I think, the best seasonal loot pool we've ever seen. Grid Skipper is becoming one of my favorite pulse rifles. Chroma Rush is one of my favorite auto rifles. This Breach Grenade Launcher is easily my favorite Breach Grenade Launcher, with Slide Shot, and combined with the Grenade Launcher mods from this season. And even, you know, branching into stuff like the new Fusion is good. The new Crucible Hand Cannon I like. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. I got a really great Shuria's Wrath from Trials. And then we had the whole Vault of Glass loot pool still to come, which I assume some of those will be great too. So we are, that has been my primary motivator, where I am trying to farm a bunch of very specific roles, and I'm getting through a lot of them. All the new swords that came back, even some of the future war cult weapons that came back, feel really good. So loot wise, I am very happy. Override itself, I am somewhat mixed on. It's very clearly something that was at once upon a time a public event. I have to believe that was the original design intent for it. Only they realized that people don't like public events when they are clearly public events and rely on kind of random people coming to the instance. So they just made it a 6-man match made activity, which was a request from some of the past public event seasons. The problem with that is, like, 6 players almost feels like too much for this. It's like too crowded. Yeah. And I often barely feel like I'm contributing much because everything is just dead by the time I look at it, because it's not really a particularly high power level activity in the first place. And then, like, this week, like, the boss, even with health gating, the boss dies so quickly with 6 people, you know, doing breach and clear grenade launchers and thunder crash and things like that. So, there's a ghost.
spooky. It's Mithrax.
Yes. So that's my initial impression of what's been going on so far, whereas I get the critique of Override, and I don't think it's as good as Battlegrounds, but I really enjoy the loot this season so far.
Well, yeah, I think you're, I want to echo that. Like, I think Paul's totally right. Sorry. But I think Paul's totally right about, like, the activity just having too many people, especially given that the enemy density isn't super high. It just feels like there's a lot to do, and you can kind of just stand there and watch it happen if you really want to.
Yeah, some stuff I just skip. Like, I said on Twitter, yeah, I don't run the gauntlet part because someone is always going to beat me there to the end, and I'm always going to be pulled forward. So, like, I feel like it's a total waste of time to even try to do the gauntlet part. But then, like, in contrast, I'm always the guy who runs into the portal to, like, kill the one champion and get the data thing to dunk, because that actually makes the event go much faster. And it's like 70% of the time no one bothers to go in there. So it's very, very odd activity, I'd say.
So for me, I'll start with the positive and what I like about it. I actually like that the story beats are pretty easy to go through. Basically, you play one round of Override, and I would have never remembered the name of the event either, Travis. So I was just teasing you. But the story stuff is good. It's always compelling. I am so unengaged this season, though. I don't feel like there's a really good hook for you to be doing this event. The story stuff itself is fairly interesting about finally integrating with the Fallen for the first time. But then you go fight the Vex, and I don't feel like they've done a spectacular job of explaining the correlation between the two factions. We just know the Fallen are displaced and we're trying to help them out. And then there's, like, the sort of drama between the people of the city who still don't trust them, and how people like Ikora are saying, well, no, we're going to help them out, you know. And the event itself, Override, it's very monotonous. It's very boring. I feel like I've played a similar event a lot of times. The loot pool, I feel like I have everything that I would need in my kit. And I think the main problem that we're running into for me, and why I'm feeling so unengaged, is, Paul, you said you grinded and you leveled up the whole thing. This is the third or maybe fourth version of that we've seen, if you count the ones that have been added and then removed from the game from a few seasons back. And then with the exotics that you're chasing, it's the same thing. They're not going to go away anytime soon. There's no sense of urgency to do anything, especially seeing that the event's going to be here. So I'll sign on every week. I'll play the story mission just to see where the story goes. But I don't feel like there's a good narrative hook really right now that's going to get, you know, most players to sign on and check it out. Like, I don't feel like there's anything crazy happening yet. And that's my main problem with the event. So I do like that I can play for 30 minutes and be done with my story mission for the week. And I think that should be semi-concerning. I have to wonder, I think I'm in the minority for the community. I think most people are enjoying the weapons, enjoying the armor sets and doing that chase, but I'm just very unengaged and not particularly interested. And when we talk about PvP later, when you see the consensus that PvP is bad from the community and you see some of these clips that we're going to go over, that's incredibly concerning, because PvP is when the PvE stuff isn't that interesting to a player, they usually go to the PvP sandbox. But Stasis has all but ruined PvP for most players. It has definitely lost its sense of speed. its sense of snappiness. And honestly, I'm quite concerned about the PvP sandbox. I know they say they've been working on it, but it's been however long and still, like, what's the answer to stasis? It's a very difficult question for them as designers because they've introduced this new power that a lot of players really dislike in the PvP sandbox. So do you guys want to transition to PvP or do you want to comment on anything that I've addressed as my likes slash concerns for the season?
I think it's always been hard to make the Vex storylines compelling because the Vex are just sort of this weird, unknowable, immortal force, whereas it's been a lot easier to sort of humanize Cabal and Fallen and even Hive to a certain extent and kind of learn their motivation, whereas the Vex, just it's so hard to kind of be very engaged with the Vex, and that storytelling has always been kind of tougher to digest for me. And even though we are in this new era of like storytelling is actually really good now, I think the storytelling that's good this season is all the Fallen stuff, and the Vex stuff is pretty much nothing. And even if Coria or whoever's coming later, I still don't, like, you know, just because something's a take in mind that is owned by Savathun, I don't know if that makes Coria compelling by themselves. So I think that is one problem that the story has, but I think this is something that has always been an issue with the Vex personally.
I think what they're doing, Paul, is they're bringing all the factions together, and it's going to have a grandiose event later on once you have all these factions aligned, and then you can go into like a big battle. But right now, everything still feels siloed. Like, yes, the storytelling is somewhat interwoven, but like we got a phone call from Crow the first week, and then just nothing about every single thing that we did last season with Keitel and everything. That's all just done. We're not going to hear about that. That story is not continuing. And we're just doing this whole new thing again. And yes, you're interfacing with Osiris and everything, but it's just so disjointed. It feels disjointed now. I do think there will be a payoff, but when you're in the moment, it's just sort of, like I said, not compelling is the best
way. I think it's less siloed than it used to be, though. The seasons used to be just so siloed. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
The one season about the Almighty crashing into the tower, or like... before that, like the one season where we run around the basement of Leviathan for Kallus for no real reason. Like, I think they have certainly become less siloed, but yeah, you're right that we sort of like dropped Crow, and he shows up in the lore every so often, but like he's not a character. His story is kind of on pause. I assume that's going to pick up next season with Mara and maybe Dreaming City stuff and things like that. But so I agree with that to a certain extent. I just don't think it's as siloed as it used to be.
Yeah, I just think it's a missed opportunity because, like you said, Paul, like the Vex and to a certain extent the Hive have never really had strong stories. And I think part of that is that we don't have faces to associate with them. With the Cabal, we've had faces, but then they kind of switch the faces too often, right? Like Gaul, and then you just learn who Kallus is, and then all of a sudden Keitel's in the picture. And it's sort of similar with the Fallen where, you know, I don't even remember the name of the whoever it was we killed in Beyond Light. Like, I've already forgotten that lady's name. Like, Aramis. It's just so... there you go, Aramis. There it is.
She's not dead. She's so, just frozen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they did set that up. But I think it would be kind of an easy fix to just give, like, somebody in Vex, like, give them a face. Like, give some character, someone that we can kind of associate with. And I get that they're all a hive mind, you know, person, but there still needs to be, like, a character.
There's
in
that
the
one
Vex.
Harpy with like the blue light. That's like the friendly Vex that talks a little bit, but that's it.
other than that, that's it. And then for the Hive, you know, since Oryx, we've really been hurting for like a face of the Hive. And I think we've got Savathun, but we've never met her. At this point, she's like an EU character, you know, that we never actually see in the game. and I think that they need to do something there to actually make these and hopefully not kill them off right away. Like, give somebody a face and like keep them in the game long enough for them to actually, you know, get some clout with the player base. That's what I think.
So I'm going to continue talking about story, but I'm actually going to use it to talk about armor synthesis. I'm fairly upset with how they've handled Ada with an armor synthesis. They basically took her out of the game. They brought her back to sell you stuff. And she's an amazing character, and for her to just come back and just be like, do this mission for me, okay, cool, go buy stuff, you know, they did that with Tess Everest back in Destiny 1, and now she's been a vendor in Destiny 2 forever. But to do that to Ada, that's just sort of, it just feels like really messed up to me. I don't know why. Just give me a different character. Don't just make Ada a vendor. Please utilize her further than this base storyline that we've gotten about how to synthesize our armor. How do you guys feel about Ada's usage for this mechanic, and how do you feel about the mechanic itself?
Travis? I think this is like, this is their go-to move, right? Is if somebody was in a story and they no longer have a use for him, they make him a vendor. Lord Saladin is just an Iron Banner vendor now. He had his own season. He was like a character, right? Now he's just a vendor. Saint 14 had his own season. We saved him. Now he's just a vendor for Trials. And now we've got Ada doing this thing. It hurts especially because Ada is literally just there to help sell microtransactions, like, you know, or to, and also they, we can talk about this later too, but turns out armor synthesis is time gated. So it's just like the hits just keep on coming with the system and how it operates and all that. But, you know, at least they gave her like a kind of touching monologue about how, you know, she's kind of pulling herself back up from the bootstraps and trying this new thing. Now, the thing that she is trying is to make it so your armor can look a different way and have no actual effects on your stats, which is kind of sad, but hey, you know, at least they gave her some like, hey, this is my pivot monologue, whereas we haven't gotten that from other vendors necessarily. So but yeah, it's not good. It definitely doesn't feel bad when they do that, or it doesn't feel great when they do that to their characters.
Paul, I'd love to hear your opinion. I'm just asking you this live, but for my game, it seems like I am actually able to easily synthesize multiple pieces of armor after doing like the first three steps of the quest. Did that happen for both of you or no?
Yeah, because you get 11 free ones per class for this season with like the introductory stuff with it. And then you have to switch to Grind. 10 of these quests per season. And what's happened is my original thought about the cap is not really the main problem. The main problem is what Travis said, which is the time gate. And the quests themselves are like hit and miss. Like, I think the Crucible quests especially go really fast. Like, if you're just a normal Crucible player, you can finish those without even trying. The yep. longest ones, I think, are the world quest ones where it's like, do 10 blind wells or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. But the time gate itself is, I think it's Synth Strand. I've lost track of all the little bits and pieces of it. But it literally cannot drop more than once every 2 minutes. So you can't just go to the throwaway and farm it infinitely. So it takes so long to be doing essentially anything to get up to 150 synth strand that the cap doesn't matter, because like, unless you are just playing a metric ton throughout the whole season, like, it is very unlikely you will even hit the cap. I am worried that Bungie's going to use that data and be like, see, no one even hit the cap, like, or barely anyone did, so the cap is fine. But like, the real issue is the drop rate of that. And like, it sucks because like, on the other hand, transmog is great, like, in practice, like, when you have the ability to have all these, you know, 10 free ones off the top of your head, and you can just go down the list and pick your look. And like, I have never had more fun with fashion and armor and design stuff than I have with this new transmog system. I've made multiple looks even in the first 2 weeks here for all of my classes. I like the ability to have access to every single shader. And I'm using ones that I forgot existed that I wouldn't have highlighted otherwise, and being able to apply them to everything you're wearing at once is great. But I know, you know, I'm running low on my freebies, and I've only finished a handful of these quests, even playing as much as I have. And I've played more than I'm sure almost anyone, but I'm only at one or two completed quests out of 10 per character. And like, this is not something that you can really just grind by itself. Like, this is something layered on top of, like, if you are doing this other stuff, you will complete it. But this is going to be something that feels terrible. Like, if you were just like, okay, I'm going to log in and grind out 150 synth strand, that is going to be atrocious. And it's maddening, because like, this is such a, like, the implementation of this, like the UI, how it works is great. But the fact that they wanted to make it just so obnoxious after this free ones they give you is going to kill it. And you go from like, I want to experiment with all this stuff, to like, okay, I really got to pick my favorites here. And like, yeah, I could transmog this entire new set of Fallen Armor, but like, maybe I'll just do the cloak, because it's not worth using, you know, 5 free things. And it's like, it's 5 hours per piece of transmog essentially. So it creates this opportunity cost in your head of like, oh, is this really worth 5 hours, like, to do this one piece? Or like, is this set really worth $10, like, if I have to shell out for it? So it's a great system that is marred by microtransactions and the ability or their desire to make money from it. I don't know if they are. They have to make some amount of money from it, but that has really tainted it and has made it a obnoxious grind that I can't stand.
And all that context, I want to follow up. How do you feel about Ada's implementation and her storytelling?
Her little initial book is interesting. I think I agree that I hope she would be used for something more than this in the future, because I think she was a great character. Black Armory was, you know, kind of minimal on story content, but her specific story that we learned was actually very good. It would be nice if she had an actual role in the seasons coming up, and we could, you know, restart her forges and get the Black Armory weapons back and get new Black Armory sets. Like, I would like a return to Black Armory, honestly, more than I'd like a return to SIVA. Everyone's liking SIVA and stuff, but like, I would take Black Armory style stuff over SIVA stuff. Maybe you can merge those with some sort of storyline or something. But I mean, I'm not, like, I guess, offended by her use here, but I would like to see her expand in the future, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's just sort of disappointing because I think she has so much potential. The other category that has been reworked is definitely PvP. Mariah, if you could play the clip from Jay Overrated that was trending on Twitter. Jay, thank you for letting us use this. Check Jay out at twitch.tv/JayOverrated. But basically, he was just showing off with the new weapon where he can freeze a player during trials. And then he's just a monster for doing this. He purposefully threw the game. But like, just to see this, it's very concerning for me to see stasis in this way, because it just makes me feel like, how is this what they want for PvP or anything even close to this? Because we've already known it's slowed down. They've corrected some of the aspects that they released this season, but it just keeps getting worse, it seems like, and it's not getting better. When is Bungie going to take a look at PvP and make some corrections? Travis, what do you think about everything going on, and when do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, it definitely needs addressing. I don't know what their plan is for it or if they have one, because it sort of is, I mean, slowing people, but especially freezing them, fundamentally is going to change the sandbox and how the game feels, and it clearly has. And this sort of, obviously, I don't have a problem with the way that sidearm works. And Paul and I have been talking online about the merits or lack thereof of that actual sidearm. But the fact that it is yet another thing that can slow a pit player in their tracks, and that combining them can just make one player stand there for 30 seconds unable to do anything, it just doesn't feel good. I think maybe the solution to it is to do stuff like what they've already done. The Titan exotic for the boots that we have right now is actually an extremely good exotic. And I would say it's like triple S rank for PvP. Like, it's just so good. Somebody throws a withering blade at you and slows you down, and then you gain so much damage increase that you can two tap somebody with any hand cannon in the game. Like, that's really good. I think that they can create counters in the sandbox so that if people are using cheeses like that, there can be an answer to it. Obviously, the simpler solution would be just to kind of change the way stasis works at a fundamental level. I think that that would require such a heavy lift in terms of changes to the way the powers work and sunsetting of items and all that stuff. I mean, they just added another sidearm to the game that freezes you. So clearly, in their minds, they're still developing this rather than, you know, retconning it. So I think that that's their plan, if they have one. And I think maybe the solution is just to create natural counters in the sandbox to deal with that, because the Titan boots is just one example. And honestly, it works great. Like, I've had a lot of success using that in PvP, and I've seen people online basically say the same thing. Like, yeah, this actually makes hunters like question whether they should throw that withering blade around the corner, because they're giving you a huge advantage if they hit you, which is kind of cool.
And, Paul, how do you feel? Do you feel like I'm being hyperbolic? Do you feel PvP is really in that bad of a state? What are your thoughts?
No, for once, I think you're not being hyperbolic. I have a more hardline approach than Travis. I'm at this point, I think I'm done. Like, I'm not quitting Density PvP or whatever, like, but I think in terms of me trying to brainstorm solutions for like how stasis should work and whatever, like, I don't think there's an answer that's sandbox based. Like, yeah, cool. Like, those boots are very good, but like, we are literally developing specific exotics now to counter one subclass. Like, that to me is like, we're just getting more and more convoluted here. And it's like an arms race where it's like, okay, well, you got to give every class an anti-stasis exotic that like negates the purpose of stasis in the first place. And like, you know, where does that kind of end? And I have taken the hardline position of, I think Stasis should be disabled in at least competitive PvP modes, Trials and Iron Banner especially, if not all of PvP. I know that this is a controversial idea that not everyone agrees with, but I think the majority of the player base might agree with it, and B, probably something Bungie will never do. But I just don't think what they have done so far is remotely enough. Nothing has changed in 6 months. We are still seeing Stasis dominate as much as it ever has, even with nerfs to, like, I don't know if this is the worst it's ever been, because just think, like, all freezes used to be 4 seconds. Like, the shards from Shatter used to, like, just insta-kill you. Like, they have nerfed some things, and yet they have clearly not nerfed it enough where it is not still being used by, in, like, 60, 70, 80% of PvP games. And, you know, when those, if you have, like, a 12-man Iron Banner game and 10 people are using Stasis, like, you're getting frozen all the time, and the only way to counter that is either wear those Titan boots or freeze other people with your own Stasis. And people wearing those Titan boots, by the way, usually may be running Stasis themselves because it makes them immune to Stasis to a certain extent, and then also able to run it themselves. So I don't see a way out of this. Like, they've already talked about, like, yeah, we're going to look into things like accuracy when slowed, like, but, like, fundamentally slow and freeze do not work in most PvP games. Like, if it does, it's something like Overwatch where you have Mei, where it's one character on a team that is, like, slowing or freezing. It's not like six Meis, whereas Destiny is six Meis. And these little changes they made are not doing anything, and then they are off, like, they're not doing enough. They're not doing anything close to enough. And then they just have additions thrown in. They're like, oh, we made all the Hunter Stasis grenades a lot better. Okay, like, that's not great, and that's, like, three steps back. And it's a lot of fun in PvE, I guess, but I guess the only good news is that sidearm is so terrible that most people just don't want to deal with it, so you don't see it too much in PvP, but generally speaking, like, I don't think we are any further along in progress and fixing the Stasis problem in PvP than we were when it arrived. I know there have been some nerfs, but fundamentally not enough has changed, and I do not believe enough can change, like, unless we have this, you know, 12 anti-stasis exotics in the meta or something, that it just goes crazy. So I think it's in a bad place, and I do not know what the solution is other than Stasis should not be in PvP, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. I think PvP is in such a state of disrepair, and it has been since they introduced Stasis into the sandbox. They had something really, 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 really snappy, to the point that, like, competitive players were playing it. Like, I know somebody went over to 100 Thieves, and he was playing, and all those players are basically fed up and they're done. Or at least that's the emotion that they're conveying. And for me, a casual player who worked to get better with the original subclasses, to introduce a power that stops you dead or slows you, and it's just not fun. It doesn't feel like a Destiny PvP game anymore. And I just feel like it's a joke. PvP is a joke right now. I don't think it can ever be taken seriously until they get Stasis out of it. And maybe you disagree, but that's fine. There's so many people online that are just done with Destiny PvP. And when you lose that half of your player base, that should send up major red flags to the PvP team. I think I can handle PvP for about, I don't know, a day, maybe a few hours before I get totally fed up and I just don't want to play anymore. And it's really, really unfortunate, because I do think that with the original subclasses, they're fine. But with Stasis being introduced, Stasis needs to go, period. To the point that I don't even want to play if Stasis is still in PvP anymore. You know, not the whole game, but just PvP. I know when I sign on to PvP, I'm not going to have a good time. And I don't think that's what Bungie wants. All right. No other comments? We got Vault of Glass.
My only comment is that I think the sidearm is underrated, but that's it.
Yeah. Stasis got to go out of PvP. Come on. Just call it PvP Classic, and it's just light abilities. Like, it seems like,
I mean,
there's options.
I'm okay with a light playlist. I'm just not as, like, extreme that, like, there's no way to fix it. I think they've made some improvements some the other way, but, like, they're the developers. Like, they'll figure this out. Iterations, and, you know, I get where you guys are coming from. Like, it sucks right now, and it sucked for 6 months, and how much longer is it going to suck? Like, but this has sort of been my opinion of PvP for, like, 4 years in Destiny. Basically, since Destiny 2 came out, it's been like, wow, PvP is like not as good as it was in D1. And then they slowly get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And then sometimes they take a step in the wrong direction. And I guess my perspective of a PvP main is that, like, I'm kind of used to this.
This
like,
just feels just different, though, because, like, things sucking. All the other problems, it's like, okay, this gun is problematic. This specific subclass super is problematic for these reasons. But, like, this is an entire subclass, and not just the entire subclass. It's, like, the core concept of the subclass. So, like, this is the problem I don't know how they solve, is because if you eliminate freezing and slowing from stasis, it is not stasis. Like, that, it doesn't even exist. So, I don't know what the answer, like, what the sandbox answer even can be here.
Yeah, unless, I mean, yeah. I get what you're saying. I think we actually have faced maybe even bigger problems in PvP. Like when Destiny 2 vanilla launched, you had two primary weapons and no special, and then the heavy ammo slot. Remember that? Like that was devastating to PvP.
And how had long it for did it a take long for them time. To fix it?
I think it was like a year. It was like a year. It took a really long time.
And how did they fix it? By eliminating double primaries, not by, like,
that's true,
changing the sandbox to accommodate double primaries better.
Like, that's true. And so maybe they will find a way to cut stasis out of PvP. I have no idea. But my point is, like, there's been large problems with PvP before, and, you know, maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. I don't really know. But I get where you guys are coming from. I don't know if it needs to 100% be taken out, but I definitely understand. Like, if anybody ever said that to me, like, take stasis out of Crucible, I wouldn't be like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I get it, you know? So.
No, not stasis, said nobody. Yeah. Meanwhile, Vault of Glass is right around the corner. It comes back tomorrow, actually. So our next episode, we'll probably be talking about Vault of Glass. I'm actually excited to give it another run. I don't really care about the day one thing, but I'll probably run it within the first week. Probably just going to LFG it. How are you guys feeling about it? Are you excited? Are you going for day one, Travis?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna do challenge mode. I love Vault of Glass. I've done every other raid day one as well. So I'm actually going to not only try to beat Vault of Glass, but I'm going to try to do the additional challenge mode that you play afterwards, which is, I'm not going for world first or whatever, but I would like to be day one completion for all the world first requirements. I have a pretty cool squad, some people who've done it and some people who've never played Vault of Glass before. So I'll be really interested to see what their impressions are. And it's not the most exciting because it's a raid we've already done a bunch of times, but the return of the existing weapons, seeing if I'll be reunited with my beloved Vex Mythoclast, and getting to kind of see other through the eyes of first time players who didn't play the original D1 raid, I think it's going to be really fun. So I'm excited. Hey, and if you need a group to play with Destin, I'll roll with you. Yeah. I can get a group of guys together. So
hit me
up on Xbox.
Maybe I'll hit you up 23 hours after it launches.
Yeah, there you go. Easier.
And you can use your hunter scale boots again.
There we go.
That's right. Yeah,
they're made legal.
Deactivating those. Yeah.
Paul.
I found out a few days ago I have a wedding to go to tomorrow. So I wasn't going to run day one, but now I can't even watch the raid race because it's going to be during the whole day. So I'm going to have to sneak glimpses on my phone. Granted, I know what to expect with it for the most part. I'm hoping I don't miss some sort of significant story thing they've been hiding that's like a surprise in the raid or after the raid. But I mean, generally speaking, yes, I am looking forward to Vault of Glass. I'm curious to see how the weapons perform in the current meta, what they have done to Vex Mythoclast to make it more interesting. I am curious to see, how players who have never experienced Vault of Glass will take this raid, because like raids have kind of evolved to the point where they were a good deal more complicated and challenging than Vogue originally was. And I want to know what they have done to make it more challenging outside of these like world's first stipulation things that will not really be requirements, you know, for anyone going forward outside of certain instances. So I really want to know how this is going to go. I still think it's a little weird to bring back Vault of Glass in a Vex focused season and not have it relate to the story in any way. So I am hoping for some sort of surprise there. I don't know how high my expectations actually are for that, since they have been kind of explicit that it is not supposed to connect to the story or have a new story or whatever, but I guess we'll see. I probably won't run it until later next week as well. And I will just watch on my phone when I can in the bathroom of this wedding. So
just sneak away. Do you? Not kidding.
I will
the ring. You just run up. Oh, sorry. They just beat Athia.
These are like friends of friends, so I I don't feel too bad.
All right. Well, it's good to hear we're all excited a little bit about Vault Glass, but I agree with you, Paul. It's weird that seems like a ripe opportunity to integrate the story in some fashion. Maybe there will be a cutscene after it's defeated by the Guardians. They've done that with like a Last Wish and such in the past.
Paul, weren't you saying, wouldn't it be cool if when we enter the final encounter, we see our raid team from D1 finishing the loop and then we come in to restart the fight?
I have like, many that would theories be about what would be extremely cool that I am not actually expecting to pan.
Yeah, there's like a 0% chance of that happening, but I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, it would be awesome. Travis, anything else you want to go over for this episode? You still have a few things.
Well, we've got crossplay. I know that's pretty huge. I think there's going to be a beta next week, so it's going to happen before next episode.
They had it turned
on. On accident.
And it seemed to be working fine. That's awesome. Hopefully they don't have to pay any of those royalties to Sony for having it turned on accidentally. But I'm excited about crossplay. I think anything that helps the sandbox integrate together in a better fashion is great, especially in something like Strikes. And I think that's where they're starting, right? I have no problem at all with a PC player playing with me in a Strike playlist. There's no worries whatsoever. Anything PvE, actually, that sounds great. You should be able to toggle in and out of it. But Travis, what do you think? This is good, mostly. I'm worried about PvP, but for now, great.
Yeah, I'm not super worried about PvP. They already said that they'll have an option to disable crossplay for PvP specifically. So I might do that. I honestly might challenge myself because I do play on controller, even on PC. Granted, controller on PC works differently than on console and there's a lot less recoil and stuff. So, it's still possible that I'll do it. But what I'm curious is like, how do you think this is going to change the way that you guys personally play Destiny and the people that you know? How do you think it'll change the way that they work? Because for me, like, you know, I'm in Brian's clan and I never play with those guys because they all play on PC and I play on Xbox mostly. And so my clan roster is usually just empty. And so I'm really excited to get back into it and start to see those guys. And I think it will change the way I play because whereas before Destiny had me jumping on different platforms, you know, I'd play on PlayStation. If I was like, I played with D Flawless a couple of weeks ago and I jumped on PlayStation because that's where he's at. I play with my guys on Xbox. And then when I'm playing with my clanmates, I go on PC. And so I think the way it'll change for me is, you know, going forward, I don't have to buy multiple copies of Destiny 2 and all the expansions. I can kind of just like stick with one and play with all my communities. And it doesn't really matter where they're playing. And I think that's going to be kind of a game changer for me and for the community. It's like a kind of a huge quality of life improvement for everyone, especially the hardcore who are having to buy multiple copies of the game. And the other thing is like, it's on Game Pass, it's on Stadia. And for those communities, now their accessibility has kind of been opened up because they can play with friends on any platform without having that barrier of entry of, you know, having to buy the game when they have access to it free on another platform. So I'm kind of excited for it, man. I think this is really big. And I'm definitely going to hop into the Strikes beta playlist just to test it out next weekend. So wonder if you guys will do that too.
Of course. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's very good for the health of the game overall. I'm hoping, my biggest hope is that it definitely works very well from a technical perspective, because I mean, this might be an Outriders thing because Outriders has so many problems, but crossplay is on in that game and the lag was so bad that I had to turn it off, and like, there's still lag, but it was definitely worse with crossplay on. So that's like the only potential downside I could see is if your game suffers somehow through crossplay. If not, that would be great. I think it will probably affect the more general player base more than people like us, where I hop through all different systems all the time. I probably split 50-50 between PlayStation and PC now. And then I just have this, like essentially a trials group on just Xbox now that I jump on there and play sometimes. And like, I don't really care about switching platforms. Like, I'm picking up one controller for another. Like, that doesn't really bother me, but obviously I know that everyone does not have a gaming PC and a PS5 and an Xbox and all these things that they can switch to. So this, for those people, it will eliminate those barriers that have previously been up. So as long as this isn't like a big technical meltdown thing, and it seemed to be working okay when they had it on before, I think that is probably good for the overall health of the game. And I think most games should have crossplay. So it's good to see that expanding.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's all we really have to go over. We have time for the Bungie Please section, Travis.
Oh, no, I didn't think of one.
So I
think. Yeah, well, wait.
I want to go first and then we'll let Paul go.
Okay, go
so
ahead.
I just want to say, Bungie Please, thank you for giving me Eyes of Tomorrow, like my second run. And that was really, really appreciated.
Oh, my God.
And then, Travis, or no, wait, Paul, were you able to get your Eyes of Tomorrow yet? I'm just wondering.
No, I wasn't, but I haven't run it a fraction of the times as Travis, so I don't feel too bad.
Travis, what's your status with the Eyes of Tomorrow?
Yeah, so yeah, okay. So Destin's having a fun with me because he saw in the run of show that this was my Bungie Please, but I haven't really talked about this much on the show. People on Twitter have seen me talking about this, but
we're here for you.
Yeah, I don't have Eyes of Tomorrow. I think I've run 50 lootable raids. It might be more than that, but I would have to check raid report. But I was one of those guys who I was just doing it weekly on one character before the patch, and then once they did the patch, now I'm doing it on all characters. So I've been running it in sort of like the maximal way that you'd want to do it since the beginning, and this was my last week to get it before Vault of Glass comes out, which is significant because once Vault of Glass is out, it's going to be a much harder to convince my friends to help me with this old raid that they know I'm not going to get the drop anyway, right? Because my luck is in Destiny is always awful. So I didn't get it this week. There's a community on Twitter of people who follow me who have the same problem. Some of them have run it more than me, 80 times, 85 times, all the stuff, all lootable clears, and they don't have it. So my Bungie Please is, Bungie Please, either admit that the drop rate is very low, and even if it goes up a little bit, it's the amount of times you are expecting us to do it is ridiculous. Or look at the drop rate and make sure that it's working correctly, because either it's broken, or when you guys said, oh yeah, your rate goes up over time, what you meant is that it goes from, you know, 0.9% to 1.2% over 20 clears. Like, just mathematically, there can't be people who've run it 80 times and don't have it. If it goes to a point where it's a guaranteed drop after enough runs, like how many runs do you want it to be before it's a guaranteed drop? Like there needs to be some transparency here. I just have to know what's going on. I'll probably end up buying it from a damn vendor. Once the raid gets sunset and they offer it in the tower. So that's where I'm at. That's my Bungie Please. I'm very upset.
Well, I'll be with you on that one. Bungie, please help Travis get his Eyes of Tomorrow next week. I had the same problem with Anarchy. I think I ran for Anarchy 30 times about, and I think they patched it after, or it was like the week that they patched it, it finally just dropped. So I think there's definitely something going on with your loot.
It's broken. There's no question in my mind that it's broken. They said it was broken before, and then they said they fixed it, and they didn't fix it. Like, that is readily apparent, because it is mathematically impossible for this number of people to be going this many clears without it. So like, I don't think this is a question at all. And my concern is that Vex Mythoclass is going to have the same system and be the same kind of I think it should be a random drop chance, but not if it's going to perform like this again. And you're going to have people with 60 Vault of Glass clears not getting it. So I don't know why this hasn't been addressed. Like, this is one thing where they specifically said they fixed it, and that is clearly not true. So I'm not sure what it's going to take for them to kind of go back and look at that again. So I don't know. I won't make that my Bungie Please, but I agree with you that something is very wrong, but it seems pretty clear to me what is wrong.
What's yours then, Paul, if you got one?
I guess I'll do what I was complaining about the other day, where just the process of resetting your Crucible rank now, or any rank, is absurd. Yeah. Like, because of it's all down to materials caps, essentially. So like, if you have maxed out prisms and or shards, you cannot reset your Crucible thing, or Gambit, or whatever. We'll do the Vanguard one next season, I guess. But you have to like sync, and you can't put them in your inventory. Like, you have to sync Ascendant shards into a piece of armor or an exotic or something to free up room. Then you have to buy a shard with your prisms, and then you gotta you might not be able to afford that, and like, it is like a 12-step process if you have cap materials, when all it used to be doing, like, you used to just like hold down X over the menu and that would reset your Crucible rank. And now it is this like ridiculous process that I appreciate that they put those materials in the thing. I think that is a good reward to have. I just, these caps don't really make sense to me because they don't even work, because you have like the hardest core players with like vaults full of masterwork legendaries that they are using just to store extra shards because they literally have nothing else to do with them. So the caps don't work in the first place. So that whole thing needs to be changed.
Oh my God.
All right.
Currencies and Destiny never stop making me laugh and smile. It's so funny.
Well, thank you both so much. We are at the end of the show for this week. We will be back soon enough with the next episode, but that's it for this time. So until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.